And a joy. Special thanks to Sally Ann and Kelly sharing their gifts in honor of Miss Betty Patrick. They are with Judy at the TMH Hospital in the bereavement ministry. My name is Ralph Wrightstone, and I want to welcome you to Bethany United Methodist Church, the home church of Jim and Betty Patrick. And we got a video presentation put together that we can start beginning celebration of Betty's life. So, Phil, whenever you're ready.
Constantly amazed by the blades of the fan on the ceiling, the clever little glances she gives me can't help but be appealing. She loves to ride into town with the top down, feel that warm breeze on her gentle I see a little more of me every day. I catch a little more mustache turning gray. Your mother is the only other woman for me. Little Miss Magic, what you gonna be? Sometimes I catch her dreaming and wonder where that little mind meanders. Is she strolling along the shore or cruising over the broad Savannah? I know someday she'll learn to make up her own rhyme. Someday she's gonna learn how to fly. Oh, that I won't deny. I catch a little more dialogue coming my way. I see those big brown eyes just start to look in astray. Your mother's still the only other woman for me. Little Miss Magic, what you gonna be? Yes, she loves to ride into town with the top down. Feel that warm breeze on her gentle skin. She is my next of kin. Constantly amazed by the blades of the fan on the ceiling. Those clever little looks she gives just can't help but be appealing. I know someday she'll learn to make up her own rhymes. One day she's gonna learn how to fly. That I won't deny. I see a little more of me every day. I feel a little more mustache turning gray. Your mother's still the only other woman for me. Little Miss Magic, what you gonna be? Little Miss Magic, what you gonna be? Little Miss Magic, just can't wait to see. It's raining, it's pouring, your old man is snoring. Thank you.
Would you swear that I'll always be there? I'd give anything and everything, and I always care through weakness and strength, happiness and sorrow, for better, for worse.
I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we come together today to celebrate the life of Benny Ann Wheeler Hanford. I take a little different take on the Left Behind series that was wrote some years ago, because we are all left behind here for a reason and a purpose. That's to celebrate the life, but also encourage others in the faith. It is because of the blessed hope that we have in Christ that we can have a celebration of Betty's life today. In our United Methodist tradition, we don't have funeral services. We have the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the life everlasting. Betty Ann Wheeler Pafford was born in Miami on December the 16th, 1931. Passed away on Tuesday, February the 20th, 2018, in Tallahassee. During the end of her journey, Betty was surrounded with love by her husband Jim, daughter Judy, son Jim, at Big Bend Hospice. Betty grew up in Miami, attended and graduated from Miami Jackson High School in 1950. You can tell by the pictures, her best friend introduced Betty to her big brother, who happened to be Jim Pafford, during a family gathering. Therefore, Jim became her sweetheart as they enjoyed the beautiful love story together for the past 66 years. It was so... I'm a crybaby. Help me, Holy Ghost. So precious to see them when they would come to church. They would always be holding hands, walking together. Such a testament. Well, they got married, and during Jim's service in the United States Army, and thank you, Jim, for your service at Folsom, Georgia, on October the 7th, 1951. And then they were relocated to Petersburg, Virginia, where Jim was stationed prior to being shipped overseas during the Korean conflict. Their life together was filled with joy, and it was obvious, and compassion and love. And during their marriage, they supported each other completely through good times, with only a few little difficult moments throughout the years. Betty's professional career as a working mom included 14 years working with the Dade County School System at Opa-locka Elementary School. There, she and her husband Jim opened a printing business as co-owners, and she was primarily the sales representative. Betty had also worked at Alderman Transport Company, and after relocating here in Tallahassee, she worked at the JCPenney department store, where she was awarded Salesperson of the Month many times. Anyone who met Betty immediately was drawn to her with her beautiful smile, outgoing personality, sense of humor, intelligence, and enthusiasm for life. She was dedicated to spending time with her husband, sweetheart, Jim. After retiring to Tallahassee in 1996, she deeply loved and enjoyed the company of her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren whenever possible. She is survived by her husband of 66 years, James Galen Pafford, her son James Roy Pafford, Pamela Elizabeth Pafford, daughter Judith Pafford Willis, Herbert Willis IV, grandchildren Jared Martin, Tabor, Jason James, Tabor, Deb Trusty, James Harold Pafford, Jessica Dennis Pafford, Amanda Elizabeth Pafford, Christopher William Gabe Pafford, great-grandchildren Mackenzie Pafford and James Pafford, Annabelle Pafford and William Pafford. You got quite a legacy, Brother Jim. She was also preceded in death by her mother, Betty Armanda Wheeler, her father, Thomas Wheeler, her brother, Thomas Wheeler, and her sister, Patsy Wheeler. We're gathering today in her honor, and after the service, we'll be gathering in the fellowship hall as the family would like to greet you, and we'll have some snacks and food and different things to help with the fellowship. Jim and Betty, never miss. We in this church serve communion or Eucharist on the first Sunday of every month. They never missed. And so it's very appropriate that we gather in the fellowship hall and break bread together in communion with family and friends and, of course, with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll be doing that. Join me in an attitude of gathering prayer. Grace and loving God, Christ died in our death. Rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory, as in baptism, Betty put on Christ. So in Christ, may Betty be clothed with glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed to us. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those who have this hope purify themselves as Christ is pure. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I die, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of hell and death, because you shall live also. And we are gathered here today to celebrate Betty's life. I want to share with you a scripture out of the Good News Bible, the Living Bible, excuse me. It's a paraphrase, and I like the way it reads. Paraphrases are good, and it doesn't matter which translation of the Bible you study with, because you can't take away from the spiritual truth of God's Word. I'm going to share with you because this represents Betty and her life. As mom, friend, family, wife, Proverbs 31, starting at verse 8. You should defend those who cannot help themselves. Yes, speak up for the poor and needy and see they get justice. If you can find truly a good wife, she is worth more than precious gems. Her husband can trust her, and she will richly satisfy his needs. She will not hinder him, but help him in all of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She buys imported foods brought by the ship from distant ports. She sets up before dawn to prepare breakfast, and for the household she plans the day's work and lays out for the servant girls. She goes out and inspects the fields and buys it. Her own hand she plants a vineyard. She is energetic, a hard worker, and watches for bargains. She works far into the night. She sows for the poor and generously gives to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for she has made warm clothes for all of them. She also upholsters with fine tapestry her own clothing, which is beautifully made, of purple and pure linen. Her husband is well known, for he sits in the council chamber with other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments to sell to the merchants. She is a woman of strength and dignity and has no fear of old age. When she speaks, her words are wise and kindness, the rule for everything that she says. She watches carefully all that goes on throughout her household and is never lazy. Her children attend and bless her. So does her husband. He praises her with words. There are many women in this world, but you, Betty, are the best of them all. Well, I got to wipe these tears away for a minute, if you bear with me. And the other scripture I want to share is out of Ecclesiastes, very, very common scripture. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. This is from the New Living Translation of God's Holy and Precious Word. Hear God's Word. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to rebuild, a time to cry, and a time to laugh, a time to grieve, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to turn away, a time to search, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to test, and a time to mend, a time to be quiet, and a time to speak up, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for love and peace. God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That's the way it reads in Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, those verses that I shared with you. It's an opening statement from Solomon, who gave us Proverbs and probably was credited with being one of the wisest men that ever lived. Because there is a time to be born and there is a time to die, and such a time as it is now, we in the church calendar are in a season of Lent. And even if there is a time for a Christian faith to be glorified in death, it's the time of the church calendar that we celebrate Lent. Lent began on Ash Wednesday with those solemn words of death. Remember that you are dust, and dust you shall return. In the words of the psalmist, it says, you turn us back to the dust and say, go back, O child of the earth. And we receive the ashes on Ash Wednesday with the sign of the cross, which is the sign of our mortality, a precursor of our own death. And those final words, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Lent is also a traditional time of self-denial and practicing to die to self by giving up of chocolate, meat, television, you can name it. You can give all kinds of things that we give up, and we practice 6 days a week because there's 40 days, but you don't count Sunday because Sunday is the day of grace. Lent ends in Holy Week with the reading of the Passion of Christ, the story of his crucifixion, the tolling of the bells on Good Friday as his death, and Holy Saturday, the day the church remembers Jesus in the tomb. Altars everywhere are stripped bare. Veils shroud the crosses in the churches all across the country. Lent and Holy Week bring us face to face to death. If one could choose the hour of one's death, surely Lent would be filled with all the symbols of our mortality and would be a good time to choose. Everything there is a proper season and a proper time, and Lent surely is a good time to die. Betty did just that. Baptized into death for Christians, however, death has already happened. Death is a past event in the Christian life. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about baptism. On our baptismal day, the day according to the Christian faith is the day that we truly die and join in Christ's death. The Apostle Paul says, do you know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And we were buried, therefore, with him into the baptism of death. So when the sign of the cross is traced on the forehead of a person, a baptism, that's the real moment of death. The Apostle Paul explains this to us. He says that baptism, our old being or our old life before baptism, was crucified with Christ, and our old body of sin had been destroyed. For one who has died is free from sin. So death is not a new experience for the Christian. We have experienced it in baptism, and we die over and over again in the ashes in Lent and Good Friday and whenever we do anything to die to self. Death, burial, and resurrection. So we have this season of death because Betty has died. But strangely enough, we believe that we are not here to preside over a death. Rather, as Christians, we are here to celebrate the resurrection. There's a time to die, but there's also a time to live. For it's been united with him, in that being Jesus, in death. Paul also said we shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection like his. So we make no mistake about it. We are here to celebrate not death, but resurrection. And as we celebrate the life of Betty in the Eucharist or the Holy Communion, we are celebrating Christ as our Passover. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. Alleluia is a wonderful song that we sing all through the liturgies of the dead, the burial service, and the Easter liturgies. I prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday, and not Easter, but Easter has been the traditional name. But it is because of the resurrection of Christ that we can have hope during that time that we celebrate as Easter. Therefore, it's a joyful occasion that we gather today and celebrate of a time to live in the midst of a season of death. So for a space of an hour or so, we put Lent, its purple garments that are on the altar, and we are here to make no mistake about it. We are celebrating resurrection. It's Easter time. We bring out the resurrection candle. We put on the white vestment, symbols of the resurrection. We proclaim the triple hallelujahs of the great heavenly feast of Easter, because the season had been transformed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For if we die with him, writes Paul, we believe that we shall also live with him. Therefore, what we do today is to gather and celebrate the season to live eternally, to come and celebrate Betty's life. As we come together right now is a time of celebration and a season of resurrection. Oh yeah, it's a time to grieve. All this does not mean that we won't grieve. We will grieve and mourn. We'll weep over the separation. But as I was sharing with Jim a little while ago, you know, Jesus said, in my house there are many rooms. Some translations say many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. And for Jim, who is left behind, can hang on to that hope that she is only in the next room waiting for him. Yes, we acknowledge and struggle and accept the pain of this loss. But God will give us the strength to support us through our griefs. And I encourage you to claim that promise that we get from the book of Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is God's faithfulness. So comfort and help each other as we go through this particular season of separation from Betty. God invites us to call upon him for that strength daily. Hallelujah, it's true. We gather today in the season of death. We are mortal, formed from the earth, and from the earth we shall return. For so did God ordain when creating and saying, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So for the Christian, it's also a season to live. Our sister Betty had entered into the near presence of our Lord. And we are here to celebrate the season of resurrection, for we have been united with Jesus through death. So we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We'll all go down to dust one time unless the Lord returns to it for us first. We'll all experience that thing we call physical death. But when we do, we will just go from life to life and pass through death. That's the hope that we have. I want to invite Jim and Judy to come and to the platform. They're going to share some things from their heart, and a little later on we'll give you also a time to share. Now, I know it ain't going to be easy for them, so if they cry like me, it's okay.
Thank you all for being here today. I wrote a thank you letter to my mom. As a fundraiser, you write a lot of thank you letters, but I thought this is really important to write a thank you letter to my mom for all the things she's done for us. Dear Mom, first of all, thank you for loving our dad so passionately and deeply and sharing wonderful stories of the night that you met, and it was at a family gathering, and then later you spent hours at a drugstore just talking, and you told me then you knew he was the one. It was so much fun to hear about when you got married in Folkestone, Georgia, and how you drove up with your mom and your best friends. And you didn't know it, but Dad had come in the night before. He told me he had hitchhiked down to Folkestone from Virginia, and she was at the train station. And when he didn't get off the train station, she thought, oh my gosh, where is he? Did he stand me up? And Dad was right behind her and said, I'm here, baby. That was pretty cool. Later, We wanted to celebrate your beautiful marriage of 66 years and celebrate having my brother and I. It was a testimonial to a couple's long-lasting true love to all of us, and it impressed all of our friends and family. During the time that you and Dad were raising me and my brother, thank you for being our champion and for going to school and defending us when the junior high girls picked on me. And you went down to the dean's office and said, if you don't get those girls away from my daughter, you will be very sorry. And also, thank you for defending my brother when the teacher threw him out in the hallway because he was smarter than she was. And she said, don't you ever put my son in the hallway again. And they didn't. And later on, when we got older through high school and college and we partied a little bit too much, thank you for sitting in the living room and waiting up for us and sneaking us back in our bedroom when you knew that we had had a little bit too much partying. Thanks for providing us with a strong family foundation, for encouraging us to go to Methodist Youth Camp where we became independent of our parents for about a week. And thanks for being a really cool mom when you're the Methodist youth counselor and having some rock and roll bands during our meetings. I thought that was pretty neat. After all of our kids were born, your love and dedication as grandma and being an active part of all your grandchildren's births, all your grandchildren's birthday parties, many, many, many of them, and going down the water slide at C.B. Smith Park and not getting any of your makeup messed up or your hair wet was pretty amazing. Your grandchildren were all amazed. And thank you for all the babysitting duties. I remember once in particular where she had babysat all five of them, which she told me later I probably won't do again. And she went to check on them, and they were all asleep. And then she fell asleep. And my dad went in to check on all of them later on, and Amanda was awake and said, Papa, you need to be quiet because Mama's fell asleep. She's tired. She's been watching all of us. So want to also thank you for your patience, your love, and your sense of humor. It kept us going. We're a family, and happy times, meaningful experiences, or when times were tough. Whenever there was a problem, Mom always had an answer. And whenever there was joy, Mom always had smiles and laughter. Thank you for teaching me about unconditional love, where no matter what was going on, you continued to support and help whenever possible. This is the true meaning of love. Mom, I know you're having fun in heaven, because like you always used to tell me, I'd say, be good. And she said, well, you know, that's no fun. I've just got to be a little bit naughty. With much love, always and forever, your daughter Jude.
Okay, I'm going down. Okay. I'm not going to be as smooth as my sister, but I'm going to try. Betty Pafford, Betty Ann, Mom, Mama, Shirley Temple, Lucille Ball, Betty White. My mom was all that and more. The year is 1945. America's sweetheart, Shirley Temple, is rumored to have been seen in Miami. Betty Ann walks into the local department store and is startled by a woman saying, it's Shirley Temple. Mom looks around to see where the famous movie star is, only to realize the woman is pointing to her. The lady rushes up and asks Mom if she can have an autograph. Mom's friends stare at her as she says, okay. The autograph session continues as more customers approach her. Mom calmly sits down. That's what she told me. Mom excuses and signs additional autographs, and then she excuses herself, and a star is born as she and her friends laugh and exit. I always wondered if Aunt Piercy was with her that day. Lucille Ball would have been proud of Mom on a Saturday afternoon in the 60s. She had decided to do laundry and was busy on the first load of the day when her friend Nellie knocked on the front door. You saw Nellie's picture earlier. Mom rushes to the door, hurriedly throwing in the laundry detergent to complete the cycle. Mom and Nellie start talking, laughing, and carrying on, entertaining each other with tales of husbands, children, in-laws, and outlaws. The conversation was nonstop, as my mom and Nellie both loved to talk a lot. Mom and Nellie decided a trip to the supermarket was necessary to do justice for the feast planned. As we left the house, Mom added additional laundry detergent, twisting the dial to start and push the button. The two families returned from their trip to the market to find soap suds, glorious soap suds, everywhere. The five of us rushed into the kitchen where the washing machine was happily sloshing suds everywhere. We proceeded to slip and slide, and that was before there was such a toy as a slip and slide. I always remember falling, sliding, and attempting to stand, looking about at the bubbles on Mom, my sister, Judy, I don't even know if she remembers this, Aunt Nellie and her son, Jamie. Mom and Nellie looked at each other, the kids in the mess, and just started howling in laughter, and we all joined in. I've often thought of that day and wondered if it was really that much fun. Years later, as an old man in his 60s, I did finally reach that, I reunited with Nellie's son, Jamie, and one of the first things he asked me is, Jim, do you remember the day in the laundry? Before he could finish the question, I said yes, and two old men laughed. The side note to that story, I've always wondered if Mom really put the extra detergent in, or if it could have been one of her children. If it was one of the children, I'm sure it was Judy and could not have been Jimbo. Just trying to help, Mom. Lucy, episode number two. Our family's house on 67th Street in Miami was an old-style cracker house, as they were affectionately known at that time. It was around 800-square-foot structure, built on a piered concrete block foundation with white shingle rectangular siding. There was a gap of at least a foot and a half between the ground and the subfloor. I'm trying to turn you all into construction people. But that created a substantial crawl space beneath the house. The bottom of the sash windows were placed no higher than knee level in each of the rooms. My three-year-old sister, Judy, slept in the lower bunk of a bunk bed, which was placed near next to the window, maximizing the Miami breeze. On this particular Sunday morning, I walked in, motivating my sister, which I don't know telling what that means, to get out of bed and come in for breakfast. She resisted my efforts. She backed up against the screen window and fell through the open window as the screening popped loose. The screaming and shouting brought Mom and Pop running. Mom looked at me as I pointed at the opening. Mom dove through the window much as a gymnast performing a forward roll or a wrestler seeking a two-legged takedown. That's for you, Will. I have no idea my mom was so athletic. I stuck my head out the window following Mom's attempted retrieval. Mom was now on the ground, diving into the crawl space as Judy, with all of her Houdini cleverness, had proceeded to roll under the house and disappeared from view. My look out the window convinced me I was not going out that way. Little sisters were not worth the injuries that might incur from a fall of such height. I then did the brotherly sort of thing. I ran out the front door screaming, "She's dead, she's dead." Pop followed me and we arrived on the side of the house to find Mom crawling out from under the house with the escape artist in her arms. Tears, bumps, and bruises, but no real injuries. The bunk bed was moved, the latch on the screening fixed. If you spend any time with my sister today, please cut her a little slack if she stares off in space. I don't know if a doctor ever really checked her out, but I want you to know Mom would do anything for her children, and she certainly did that day, and many times to follow. Mom was the modern woman. I knew you would appreciate this. Mom was a modern woman. Our little family moved to our home in Opa-locka in the early 60s. Mom realized that she now lived in the suburbs, seemingly far away from the familiar areas of Miami. She quickly tired of waiting for buses, asking friends for rides, and waiting for Pop to get off from work. She needed the independence and was going to get it. She told Pop, "I'm going to learn how to drive." I'm not sure why, but finding a driving instructor was a challenge. Remember, in the 60s, the cars were large, the roads were small, they were narrow. Stop signs got in the way, and those doggone stoplights. One of Mom's best friends, Pop's sister, Piercy, came up with a solution. Aunt Piercy's neighbor, Louise, offered to teach Mom to drive. Mom was determined and happy for the opportunity. We all watched as Mom drove off with her newly found instructor, sitting in the back seat reading Bible verses, while Mom followed instructions in the front seat, driving to newfound freedom. It was a sight to behold. I was there. Mom passed the test. The roads were never the same for our little family again. Trips to school, the beach, doctors, department stores, proms, and the many places we begged Mom to go. Like many things as children, we never really appreciate the many sacrifices, the struggles involved in raising a family. Excuse me, I'm a softie too. Now I can only say thank you, Mom, and sweet dreams.
Precious memories. I was thinking of that song when the ladies were singing it a while ago, Precious Memories. You know, the times have changed, but human nature has never changed. And it's important to hang on to those precious memories. I always tell folks when they're getting married, because everybody wants a perfect wedding, you have to do da da da. And I can assure them, I said, there's things that are going to happen. It's going to be a challenge here and there, but don't get upset. We've allowed the Holy Spirit to come to be a part of this wedding, and whatever happens, it'll just be precious memories. And that's the way life is. Precious memories that was put together on that video. It's really something. Thank God for modern technology and the things that we're able to do. I want to share one thing with you before I ask you to share. When Betty couldn't make it to church, my wife Judy and I would take communion through Jim, or when she was in the hospital, to the hospital, and we would have it. And one of the rehab centers that she was in during that period of time, I was in Tallahassee, so I called Jim and asked him what room she was in, and he told me. So I said, well, I'll just pop in and say hello to her. And she was awake, and I chit-chatted with her for a little bit. And she looked up at me, and she says, you know, I'm trying to watch that football game. I said, yes, ma'am. I held her hand and had a prayer with her, and I was gone.
Smart man.
But as the Spirit leads, if you have something you would like to share in celebrating Betty's life, why, just raise your hand, I'll acknowledge you, and you can just stand right where you are and share.
I was an elementary school teacher, so I probably don't need this. Aunt Betty Ann was not only there for her children and her husband, she was there for all of us in the family. And I cried out too. It's a tear.
That's okay. They're holy tears.
Yeah. She just was so full of life, and she just exuded that to everyone. And if you had a problem or anything was going on, if you talked to her, you didn't even have to tell her about your problem. Just talking to her made you feel better. She was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman. And I never heard her say an unkind thing about anybody. But she would tell you what she thought. And I just want to say that she was an important part of our family.
Amen.
And all my childhood memories.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Up here, Travis, up front here.
Betty Ann Packard was my mother-in-law. Was a monster mom. She was my second mom. When we married, she told me to call her Betty. And then when my mom died, I got to call her Mama. She taught me love. Every time we were together, we hugged and we kissed and we said, I love you. And every time we went away from each other, we hugged and we kissed and we said, I love you. And we don't do that in my family, or we didn't. And she gave me my gym.
It was her.
And Jim gave me some amazing kids. Jimbo and Amanda and Will. And then these kids gave me some more amazing kids. Jessica, who's not here. And Chris. And Bethany. And then, oh my gosh, these guys gave me grandkids. Wonderful. Super intelligent, smart, beautiful, the best. Mackenzie and Jimbo, Annabelle, and baby Will. Look what you started, Mama. Thank you. Thank you, sweetie.
Amen.
She loved to say sweetie. I love you so much, Mama.
Anyone else? Thank you in the back here, Travis.
I attend church here. I'm from Folkston, Georgia. I was 9 months old when they got married. And as I grew up and older, I used to worry because in those days, we were basically a marriage mill. We had 17 motels from the north city limit to the south, three places where you could get your blood tested, and almost anybody could perform a marriage ceremony. Mm-hmm. So I used to worry when I would introduce myself and say where I was from about how those marriages turned out. James, you and Betty have been an inspiration to all of us and to me personally. And I will never, ever have to worry again about how folks in marriage could turn out. Watching you two come every first Sunday for communion, helping each other out of that car and into the church, and then back again to go home afterwards, is something that I'll carry with me all the days of my life. Thank you.
Up front here, Travis.
For those that don't know me, I'm another Jim Pafford. There's a couple of us in the audience. Anytime you talk about your grandparents, most people's first question is, were you close to them? Was I close to them? Did Jared, and Jason, Amanda, and Will and I spend every Christmas Eve with them? Did Mama and Papa miss a single birthday party? Have they been at every one of our weddings? Have they held every one of their great-grandchildren? Did I name my son after his great-grandfather and his father and his other great-grandfather and his other great-grandfather? Is my youngest daughter named Annabelle June for Betty Ann? I'd say we're a little close. I know when Mama got to heaven, Jesus came and found her, said, I've got a big job for you. That great-granddaughter that's named after you, she needs so many people watching over her. So many people. Because she loves a good time. She will never miss a chance to run out that front door and get into trouble. She will not miss a single opportunity to jump off the top floor of every playground I can find for her. And she needs a full-time angel watching over her. So there is no doubt in my mind that's where Mama is right now. She's with us here, but just in case Annabelle's in the playground, she's got to be in two places at once. Every time I leave my children, before I leave, I read a book to them. And if you'll bear with me for a couple seconds, I'm just going to tell you a few things. The book is called You Are Loved, and My Love Will Find You Wherever You Are. And as I've done every time I've left my children, I sat my daughter down on my lap, and I opened the book. And a calm came over me, because I wasn't reading the book to my daughter this time. Mama was reading the book to me. And it said, I wanted you more than you ever will know. So I sent love to follow wherever you go. So hold your head high and don't be afraid to march to the front of your own parade. If you're still my small babe or you're all the way grown, my promise to you is you're never alone. In the green of the grass, in the smell of the sea, in the clouds floating by at the top of a tree, in the sounds cricket make at the end of the day, you are loved. You are loved. You are loved, they all say. You are my angel, my darling, my star, and my love will find you wherever you are. And every book ends with three simple words. You are loved. Papa, you are loved. And Mama, you are loved. We will see you. And all of you in this room, I love all of you. You are all loved.
My name is Pat, and my husband's name is Don. And Jim and Betty came to us and said, we would like to pick out a place at Bethel to rest for the rest of our life. And we said, okay, we're, you know, give us an idea about where you would like to be. Next to you, they said. I have the honor of being next to them from now on. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mike?
Okay.
Help your mother go.
From the first time I met Jim and Betty Papert, crying too, so I must be family. It has been my honor that they have considered me their friend. Whew. I went and visited Jimmy and Betty one time. I hope Jim remembers. I know I do. That we were sitting, well, I was sitting on one end of the couch and Jim was sitting on the other. And it was kind of like this. I was sitting here and Jim was sitting there and Betty was sitting back more into the corner in a chair. And they were just telling stories. And Betty has got some stories. She is funny. But we were talking, and then she would finish with her story, and Jim was turned facing me. And as y'all know, as we get older, our hearing goes. And so Jim would start telling a story. And I guess Betty thought that we, because I was just sitting there looking at Jim listening, and I guess Betty thought that we were just sitting there doing nothing, because she would just start another story. And Jim would kind of stop, and it just showed his love, because he would just kind of stop and look at me, and she would tell her story, and then he would start his story again, and she would tell another story, and he would just stop and look, and it just showed me the love that they truly had for each other.
Amen.
We are blessed to have known Betty. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Anybody else? Well, you know, what's really neat, of course, modern technology, we can view those pictures, but God created each one of us individually in such a way, the way that our mind works and everything. It's sort of like a built-in camcorder. You know, you can just recall things, good things, and it's funny, after the party has departed and went on to be with heaven, the only thing that we recall is the good things. It's really cool. God is great. How great is our God? We're going to sing a closing hymn, How Great Thou Art. It's a United Methodist hymnal number 77, but I believe the words will also be on the screen, or you'll find a hymnal in the pew there. It's How Great Thou Art. And I love Judy's. My Judy is going to help us lead the song.
If you'll stand, we'll do the celebration of the song.
I hear the roar.
And then as we're getting ready to gather to go to the interment, just remember there's food that's prepared in the fellowship hall. We've already blessed it, so when we get over there after the service, why, just make yourself at home. Oh Lord, to those who are weak, grant them strength. To all who have sinned, grant them mercy. To all who sorrow, grant them your peace. Keep true in us, O Lord, the love in which we hold on to one another. In all of our ways, Lord, we trust you. And to you, with your church of Jesus Christ, here on earth and also in heaven, we give you the honor and the glory for now and forevermore. The promised hope of dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Miss Betty is not gone. She's only gone from our present sight, but she is still with us in a spiritual sense. Father God, receive Betty into the arms of your mercy. Rise Betty up with all your people. Receive also us as we raise into new life. Help us to love and to serve you in this world, that we may enter into your joy, not only in this world, but the world to come. And Father, we thank you that you've given us Betty, and now she and George, and we ask that you give Betty a rightful place in the kingdom of heaven. Our sorrow now says that we had a precious gift when you gave us Betty, and now we turn her back to you. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Betty, and acknowledge and humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own flock, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive Betty into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.